Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, we talk with Colin Goodchild, our man in China, about what it is really like teaching over there and why you need to bring socks. Plus, famous movie quotes that are now idioms. All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my class, and welcome to this week's episode of The James Rice Show. I am James Rice here in Toronto, Canada. That's where we're broadcasting from with my lovely producer, Stephanie, here. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am the author and series creator of the Study It ESL textbooks that are available on the iBookstore for use with your iPad, iPhone, MacBook, iMac, anything Mac. You guys got to download it. You guys got to give it a try. It's a great textbook series. Some of you guys out there, you know, you're asking me about resources and ideas. You know, we've done the research. We've done the work. We've put all of these things in the Study It ESL textbook so you guys can download it and use them. Now, I do recommend the Mac version. There are some versions out there on Amazon and different stores that not as good, not as interactive. They have the ideas in there. So if you're looking for just fresh ideas, then you can try the Amazon product that we have. But if you're looking for interactive stuff that's really cool to try out with your class, then use the Mac material. And I know a lot of teachers are using it, and students, it's great self-study material. We have complete grammar explanations in there, videos, everything like that. So download those Study It books and support The James Rice Show as well, because that's why I'm doing this. So you guys can use some of the Study It material as well as listen to the podcast and get a lot of great ideas for your English classes. And you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast or Android Stitcher app. Just search for the James Rice Show, and you'll find it there. And we release these full episodes every Monday, and we're broadcasting in over 60 countries, including Iraq. And this week I'm really excited to talk about teaching abroad. And specifically, we're going to be talking about teaching in China with Colin Goodchild. Colin was a teacher of mine. He had taught in China for 1 year, and he came back to Toronto, and he joined my language school. And he was a great teacher. He was amazing. He's well-loved by all of the students. And he taught for a little while at my school, and he's a very musical guy, and it was funny because his bike got stolen, and he'll mention this in the interview coming up later. His bike got stolen, and he was really upset by it, and he kind of left Canada because of that reason, and he went back to China, and he's living there now, and he has lived there for 11 years. And through the power of Facebook, we met up, and he agreed to come on and tell us a little bit about what it is like to teach in China. Now, he's there for 11 years. He's taught everywhere, high schools, training schools, private schools. So he has some very unique insight. So if you're thinking about teaching in China, specifically China, he's going to give you some great advice as well as the top cities that he recommends for you to go and teach in. So he has some good advice there. So if you're thinking about going to China, they're looking for teachers in China like crazy. So it will be great. Now, some of you may have taught abroad as well and come back to your home countries. You know, if you're thinking about teaching abroad, you know, please do it. You know, it's an amazing adventure. And I know even my cousins who are high school teachers, they took a sabbatical and they went to Peru and they taught there. And I think they taught maybe just in a high school. I'm not sure if they taught ESL, but it's something that they still talk about to this day as how rewarding teaching in Peru was and how amazing that experience was. So even if you're not a new teacher, even if you're somebody in high schools or universities, you just want to try something, take a year off, do something different, teach abroad, you know, go abroad, teach. They're needed in so many countries. And you'll probably be teaching English, of course, but, you know, it's a great, wonderful, amazing experience. And, you know, you see the world, you travel, you get some adventure, but really, it's the people that you meet when you're over there. And I met, of course, I've met wonderful people. I taught in Japan myself. I taught in Japan for 3 years after I graduated from university. And I met some amazing people, not only Japanese people who were amazing, but also, you know, I met Americans. I met people from England. I met people from Australia, those crazy Australians. So not only the native people, but the other nationalities who are teaching there as well. I learned so much about their countries, and I made lifelong friends there. And it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. You know, I want to give you a piece of advice, a couple of pieces of advice. Number one, you should get your TESOL certificate, okay? Some people have asked me that online. Should I get before I go, or should I do like a one-month program? Don't do a one-month program, okay? Do something a little more intense and that has a practicum. I went over without a TESOL. Yeah, that's how smart I was. I went over without a TESOL. Now, keep in mind, I went over, you know, it was a long time ago, over 25 years ago, I went traveling abroad, and I think I was like foreigner number four in Japan. That's an album. That's an album, foreigner number four. Stephanie's shaking her head. Nobody knows that one. There are some older listeners, Stephanie, that will know foreigner number four. So I went over there, and I didn't have a TESOL, and it was. You know, baptism by fire. So I had to learn my English teaching on the spot. And later, of course, I did get my TESOL certificate. And I went, hey, oh, that's what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just picked it up intuitively. So naturally, I picked that up. So get a TESOL. Get one that's not 1 month long. Spend a bit of time to learn how to teach, because it will relieve your stress when you're over there, because, you know, there's a lot to learn when you're traveling abroad and teaching abroad. There's a lot to learn. The subways, the buses, you know, the supermarkets, all of that is new. So you've got to learn that. Now, also learn a bit of the language. Learn a bit of the language. I tried myself, just by myself, with a self-study book to learn, but it was not useful, I think, because I didn't know the pronunciation. And so when I went there, I went to order in Japan. I went to order three stamps because we didn't have the internet. That's how old I am. We did not have the internet back then. I had to write a letter or a postcard to my family that I was alive in Japan. And I went into the post office. I had written down this phrase, which was "Mite kite kudasai." Mite kite kudasai, which is please give me three stamps. And, you know, I practiced it. I wrote it down, you know, and I went to the post office man and I said, "Mite kite kudasai." And he said, "Eh? What?" And I repeated it, "Mite kite kudasai." And he said, "Eh? What?" And I tried again, "Mite kite kudasai." And he said, "Do you want three stamps in English?" And I said, "Yes." So he spoke English better than I spoke Japanese. So, you know, learn a bit of the language. It will help, especially the alphabet. You know, I mean, if you're going to China, I mean, that's, you know, there's some big problems with the kanji. But if you can learn a little bit, it will definitely give you an advantage when you land, because that's the most difficult part. Now, another important point, and Colin brings this up, and in his interview, you should bring money. I know maybe you're a university student coming out of university, or you've just finished your teacher's college and you're thinking about what to do. You may not have a lot of money, but you got to bring some. Because their rules over there and their life over there is different. And for me, I did not bring money. I did not bring enough money. I was told by my company that I was going to be paid every 4 weeks. And I thought, okay, that's fine. So I have a month worth of money. And in my first week, you know, being the idiot that I was at that time, I decided I was going to buy a satellite TV so I could watch TV and movies and everything like that, which cost me like $600 to set up. And I only had, you know, maybe $1,500. So I had spent, you know, most of my money, almost half of my money on this TV system in my first week, and my bed as well, and some different little things that I wanted. So half my money was gone in the first week. And then I learned that there was a holiday coming up and the company wasn't going to pay me for 6 weeks, not 4 weeks. I was like, what? What? I mean, they said they pay me every 4 weeks except for when this holiday happens. And so I was left without any money. And Colin will talk about that as well. So bring some cashola when you come. So I'm very excited to introduce Colin to you. But before we do that, I want to do the idiom of the week, which is famous movie quotes that have now become idioms. Let's listen after this break to the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
Sometimes in the English language, a quote or expression from a movie becomes an idiom. And if you like TV shows like The Simpsons or Family Guy, you will hear movie quotes all the time. And it may be frustrating because you don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes even your teacher might say a movie quote and you think, what? Well, today we're going to look at some of those quotes that are so iconic. Iconic means incredibly popular, that they have moved out of just the movie and become part of our lives. And they've become idioms that we use every day. Now, I'm not going to talk about just famous quotes, such as from Star Wars, "May the Force be with you."
May the Force be with you.
Nice, Stephanie. Yeah, that was Han Solo with that iconic "May the Force be with you" line. So, which to Star Wars fans, that means good luck, but it only has that meaning for Star Wars fans. So I'm going to talk about movie quotes that you might actually hear in the real world, if you are not in the world of Star Wars, but actually in real world conversations. And all right, let's, Stephanie, listen to the first one.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
We're not in Kansas anymore. I actually use this from time to time, and it means you are not home. You're not in your home, but you're in kind of a strange place. And this is from the film The Wizard of Oz. And in that film, Dorothy and her dog Toto left her home to go to a really strange place, Oz. And she says,
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
So you can use this expression when you study abroad for the first time. And you go to a new country and you say to your friends or your girlfriend or boyfriend, you say, we're not in Kansas anymore. All right, Stephanie, let's play number two.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
She'll be back.
I'm back.
I think you all recognize that voice. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold in Terminator. Yeah. And in the movie, Arnold wanted to come back and he killed everyone. But in real life, we don't use it like that, but we use it when you are leaving for a short period of time. And it's kind of a joke because Arnold's voice is kind of funny when you say it. I mean, it's different. I shouldn't say funny. It's different. It's a different voice. So if you imagine you are maybe at a bar with your friends and you want to go to the washroom, you might say, I need to find the washroom, and then you can say, I'll be back. Yeah, so that's how it's used often. Often it's kind of a bit of a joke. I'll be back. All right. Okay, let's listen to number three, Stephanie.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Oh, yeah, the Godfather, Brando. And this quote is iconic. And in the film, the Godfather is going to scare someone into doing something bad or illegal for him. But in real life, it's often a joke when you are trying to get someone to do something for you. Stephanie, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Stephanie's shaking her head right now. Yeah, she's like, stop it. Sometimes you can quote a line from a movie too much. All right, let's play number four.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
That was really fast, Stephanie. Yeah, he spoke really quickly. The quote is, nobody puts baby in the corner. So baby is the name of the girl that he is in love with. Let's play it again because it's really fast. One more time, Stephanie.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody puts baby in a corner. Dirty Dancing is the name of the film. And, you know, I have not heard that for a while, Stephanie. I got to be honest. But it is very, very popular because Patrick Swayze, the man who says the line, wants to say that baby should be a star and she should not be controlled and hidden away in the corner by her family. So it's very popular. It's popular. All right, let's play the last one. The last one, Stephanie.
Why so serious?
Why so serious? From Batman, and that was the Joker, of course. And this expression is huge, really popular and iconic. And it is used in many, 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 many different situations. But most often, it is used to tell people to not be scared. Don't be scared and don't be worried. Okay, so you try to use it as, again, as a joke to try to make the situation less intense. And so if you can say it like the Joker's voice, then it's even cooler. Why so serious?
Why so serious?
And that is the idiom of the week.
Why so serious?
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at ConnectWithJames for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm pleased to have Colin Goodchild, a former ESL teacher at my language school 11 years ago, and he is now teaching in China. Welcome, Colin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. Now, what are you doing in China?
I am still teaching. I'm the international director of a members-only library and early school.
Wow, very interesting. Now, did you teach in language schools or high schools, or what's your background teaching in China?
I think I've taught everywhere, to be honest.
And why did you decide to go to China?
Oh, well, long story. My bicycle was stolen. Is that a good reason?
Okay. I do remember that, no. Actually.
Yeah. Well, it upset me and I talked about it a lot. No, I came to China because I had been here before. And the first time I came was from Taiwan. And I was invited by a friend. And I took him up on it.
And where did you go? Which cities?
The first place I went was Shandong province in a city nobody's ever heard of called Binzhou.
Okay. And now, second time?
And now I'm in Xiamen, Fujian province.
Now, of course, we're listening here going, we have no idea what you're talking about or where they are.
Right.
What would you recommend to teachers out there who are thinking about going to China about location? Where would you start?
Right where I am, to be honest. I have traveled all over. No, that's not true. I've traveled down the coast. And I've heard good things about going inland quite a bit, but I haven't really been inland very much. So from what I know, from the over 25 cities I've been to in China, this is the best one.
So what would be your top three or four if you were recommending to teachers?
Starting out, number one, Shaolin. Number two, I gotta say Shanghai, but that's not going to be for everyone. And my opinion might change if I were there longer. Why is that? Well, I mean, it's a big, bustling, major, expensive city. So okay. It depends on what you're into. And sure. If you're going to travel around the world, there are a lot of different styles in China, and you might want to do something a little bit smaller, a little bit quieter.
Okay.
So number three on the list. Okay. Wow, that's a tough one. I'd probably go to, and I haven't been there, so Dalian, but that's just based on what people have told me, videos, pictures, testimonies, we'll say.
Right. Okay. So those are the three. Anyone else? Anywhere else?
I kind of like Shenzhen. Shenzhen, it borders on Hong Kong. For the obvious reasons, I would choose Shenzhen. Bordering on Hong Kong, the hub of Asia. It's a beautiful place.
Now, what do you think are some of the challenges that teachers will have when they transfer from Canada or North America or, UK, Australia, to go to China, to teach in China?
First and foremost, internet. A lot of the things that we rely on every day are not, they're not here. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and we don't realize how much we rely on these things. However, there are ways around that, of course. And if you get a way around it, then that's not an issue at all.
Yeah, so that's definitely a big one. Yeah, I know they have WeChat is the big service.
Yes, and I love it. I love it's fantastic. You can't live without it, and you wouldn't want to.
Now, what about actually teaching in schools? Like, what are the different challenges? You know, you've mentioned you've taught in a number of different schools. Could you walk us through some of the different challenges that teachers might have going into a high school or a language school or some of the other, you know, kids' schools as well?
Right. I'm not going to say culture because I've learned to not really like that word. It's overused. Misunderstandings. We'll say misunderstandings. There are a lot of misunderstandings, and it's very difficult. There is a sort of, how do I say this? Social differences. People might call it culture. Where if there's a misunderstanding, if there's a miscommunication, there's not a lot of that upfront confrontation. So there's a bit of confusion when it comes to communicating problems and solutions. But if you come into a job and you kind of hold your, you can hold your own already if you have a little bit of experience and you just run your little area, then there's no problem there. Other challenges.
Interesting. So they won't tell you necessarily if you're doing a good job or a bad job?
That's often a problem. Yeah. Often they won't communicate that. I mean, everybody's unique. And that's something that I want to put on the table right there. So, I mean, there are people who will communicate, but for the most part, I would say that it's very common for them not to tell you when there's a problem.
So you kind of don't know if you're doing it right or not.
Exactly. And they might not want to upset you because it's kind of hard to find a decent teacher here. So if somebody complains, they might make the decision that's not a legitimate complaint, and they're not going to tell you.
Understood. What would be a typical teaching schedule?
It depends on where you are. Okay, so if you're going to do a training center, which is very common, then you're looking at evenings and weekends. But if you're in a public school or a private school, then you're looking at Monday to Friday, you know, the regular 9 to 5.
And would you be teaching like 8 hours, or would it be like a couple of hours teaching and some break times?
There are so many different styles. But I think what's most common would probably be part-time teacher, full-time employee. So a lot of the time is sitting in your office pretending to prep classes.
I see. Okay.
I mean, working hard.
If you were a first timer going to China, what would you recommend to go through, the private language school system?
I don't want to mention any names, but I took a low end job when I first came here because I wanted the cushiness. I wanted to be picked up from the airport, and I wanted my apartment ready for me, and my pillow fluffed. So if that's what you want, I'd recommend that. Going to any of the major training schools and just asking them to hold your hand.
I know teachers listening out there are going to ask, and I don't want you to tell me the bad ones, but can you tell us a couple of the good ones?
The good training centers?
Yeah.
No.
They're not good.
They're the good training centers. Okay, so all of them are pretty much they're kind of carbon copies.
Yeah, so, I'm sure. But there must be some that are, relatively good to foreigners.
Yes. If you're an international teacher and you come here, then they're going to pay you on time and they're going to tax you as much as they can. There are ups and downs, and they're all the same ups and downs. If you want to have a unique lesson, then you probably shouldn't work there. But if you don't want to do a lot of prep, it's really nice because you just pull out some paper and off you go. You file things or you pull things out of the file, and it's just cookie cutter, and it's really nice and laid back. And usually the students are eager to be your friend.
Sure, and
I don't mean that in a weird way. I mean, I'm still friends with some of my students. They're like nice people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. But you don't want to recommend anybody out there.
No, not offhand.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Maybe later you can send me a list.
I can do that. It'll take me that long to think of some.
Now, how about the money? How is the money? Because that's another question teachers ask.
Right. Well, okay. So when I first came here, the money was, it goes up and down. Okay. So in inflation in China, the economy is ridiculous. Things double from one year to the next.
Wow.
But other things stay the same. It depends. Like the bus here is still one RMB, which is about, 25 cents Canadian. And it's been that way for 12 to 14 years, as far as I know. Nothing's changed. However, my meals have quadrupled, if not more, in price. And my rent has more than doubled, maybe tripled. So it just depends on that. Now, wages, I have more experience now. I'm better.
Yeah, but when you're starting out, what is the usual kind of fair wage?
Okay, so if you're brand spanking new and you've just got your TESOL or your TESOL and you land here, I wouldn't accept less than 12,000 RMB.
Okay, so that's the number they should be looking for.
Right.
And would that include an apartment?
It should include a bonus. Like they don't actually, they'll help you find an apartment, but they don't, especially in Xiamen, they don't want to pay for the whole apartment because rent is... Well, it's crazy.
So how much would an apartment be if the teacher has to rent an apartment?
Yeah.
Generally.
I say crazy, and now I'm going to tell you a number, and you're going to be like, that's fantastic. I'm getting a really great deal on a 3-bedroom, so it's possible to find something for 3,000 RMB. But it's more common to get something for 5.
For 5,000 RMB. Okay.
Yeah.
So they can expect that. I mean,
keep in mind, 5,000 will get you something beautiful.
Oh, okay. And do the companies have apartments where that they share?
Sometimes, yeah. Sure.
You share with
sometimes. People. And as I said, like a lot of the time they will find you an apartment, but more often than not, they'll say, we'll get you an agency. And then now the agency, now there, here's something important that I should probably mention. They usually pay rent 3 months at a time.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And that's quite a chunk of money. So come with a bit of money. However, the training centers are usually run by some pretty nice managers, and they can pull some strings and give you a little bit of an advance if you sign a decent contract, because they're not looking to let you go once they get a...
So they would have to pay 3 months in advance. And so that would be, if it were on average, kind of 15,000 RMB, which would be how much in Canadian US dollars?
No, I have no idea. I don't know. You're going to have to look that up. I'm sorry.
15,000 RMB. So Google that in currency exchange. So you should bring at least that much.
I just did the conversion on 3,000 RMB, and that's $600.
Okay. So Canadian. you should probably have a couple of thousand in your pocket maybe when you go.
Yeah.
That would be good.
It's not a cheap city. It's quite expensive, some things.
Now, how about in the classroom? How many kids are in the classroom, or how many adults are in the classroom? I mean, you kind of get the picture of like 35 kids you're teaching all at once, which can be a bit overwhelming for a new teacher. What does the classroom situation look like?
So if you're going to go to a training center, then they keep their numbers very low. And they charge a lot of money for one-on-ones and what they call VIP salons, which have like three people in them. So there you don't have to worry about being overwhelmed. And usually it's just chit chat back and forth, and you correct their grammar, and it's wonderful. As for teaching kids, wow, you can go anywhere from, okay, if it's a training center for children, usually about 8 to 12 kids, which is usually acceptable. But if you're working at a full-on kindergarten or early school, then 24 children in a classroom is very common.
So you could get that. You could, when you step off the plane, you could be teaching 24 kids.
That would be like an international kindergarten. If you're going to work in a Chinese kindergarten, yeah, the sky's the limit. You might have 50 kids in your room.
Wow. Yeah. Now, is it true that parents watch the class?
Sometimes, but I wouldn't accept that.
Why not?
Children behave differently around their parents. If they want to watch the class on a video, then I wouldn't object to that at all. I think the parents have a right to see what's going on in the room.
So are the classes videoed?
Oh, yes, often. Wow. I worked at a school a few years ago, and they had a waiting room for the parents with a wall full of screens. And each classroom had a camera that they could watch.
Wow. And could they listen, or were they just watching?
They were just watching. I don't know if they had audio. They didn't turn it on if they did.
All right. So that's their solution to parents watching. So they're kind of watching, but not necessarily in the classroom.
Right. And I actually like that. It stressed me out when I first saw it, because I'm like, I don't want to be, you know, videoed, but it's often for our own protection.
Now, what do you like about teaching in China?
Oh, there's a lot. I specialize in early years education now. I know I've done the full term, but I really do enjoy teaching kids. It might have something to do with my son, but I liked it before.
And you're musical.
And I'm musical. Yeah. Got my guitar.
Yeah.
So what do I like? You know, I actually think that the early schools here, the nice international early schools, the ones that are influenced by Montessori, they actually offer something that I think Canada doesn't often have, a quality that Canada doesn't often have. I don't know how to say this, and I'm not really, really familiar with what Canada has now, because so much has changed, and I've been gone for so long, but they have some serious professional development courses. They've got really advanced early childhood psychology implemented into the classroom. They've just got nice stuff here.
Wow, really? So they're, you know, to help the development of the child.
Yes, if the parents have the money to pay for it, then the schools can be nice.
Interesting. Now, moving out of the schools, one of the issues I guess teachers have is the image of China and pollution and the environmental mm-hmm. problems, and it's dirty, the air is dirty, it's not clean. What do you say to that?
I say yes. Okay, so I go by PPM. I'm sure everybody knows what PPM is.
No, parts per million. Okay, all right. Okay.
Parts per million. So how much dirt is in the air? So how many little bits per million bits of clean are poison?
Gotcha.
2 years ago in Beijing, it was above 1,000 PPM. Now, they can't give you an accurate number because the device they use to measure it maxes out at 1,000 PPM. That's really dirty.
Wow. Wow. How about in your city now? I mean, of course, we know about Beijing and the problems they're right. having, but when you move outside of Beijing, is it still just as bad?
No. I live in one of the cleanest cities in the country. And that being said, I mean, as a Canadian, it's still kind of dirty. But they have things here that Canada can't have because it's, you know, subtropical. Is that the word I'm looking for? It's like partially tropical. We have vines growing up the highway pillars. So we've got green everywhere. It's actually a pet peeve of mine. Every time I try to drive out of an intersection, there are bushes in the way. I can't see anything. We've got a lot of green here. It's a small island, so they can put as many cars as they want on it, and there still aren't many cars. Traffic's a disaster. So you can get places that are very, very clean, and Xiamen happens to be the top. PPM being maybe worse than Toronto, but on a good day, comparable.
Right. Very interesting. So you are recommending teachers to kind of get their TESOL, do some practicing, and when they get to China, they will feel a little more confident and hopefully be left alone to teach.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sure they'll be left alone. If a teacher walks in with the confidence and they say, don't worry, I can handle it, then actually nobody's going to bother them. They're just going to let them do their thing until, heaven forbid, they get a complaint.
Right. Now, what would you recommend that teachers bring with them? Is there anything that they can't get maybe in China that you wish
chocolate.
You could get? Chocolate. Okay. Really?
And bring me some.
Why? Yeah. Why?
They have chocolate here. Okay. No, sorry, say that again.
Is it like a different chocolate? Tastes different?
Yes. Yeah. Even the international brands, even M&M's, they use a dark chocolate, which okay. I'm not really complaining about. It's just a little bit different.
Right. Tastes different. For me, it was peanut butter when I went abroad. I had to get my peanut butter.
Really? Well, they've got peanut butter here.
Okay, good.
but you've got to like smooth peanut butter. There's no crunchy peanut butter.
But it was like $20 for me when I went traveling.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that would hurt.
Well, to try to get like, you know, American style peanut butter.
Sure, yeah. I probably don't like peanut butter as much as you do, but I do like it. Like it on certain things.
Yeah. Now, how about the food? I think, you know, obviously it's going to be Chinese food. So if you're not a big fan of Chinese food, you may not want to go. But I mean, when I've traveled over to Taiwan, I haven't been to China, but Taiwan specifically, you know, the Chinese food there was amazing. I mean, it was delicious compared to what we eat here in North America. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. And I agree with you. I love Taiwan and I love their food. Here. So you have to know what you're ordering. So don't risk it if you're squeamish. they have some really strange things that that only the bravest people would still cry.
For example, what's the strangest you've had?
That I've had? No. I know not to order. Oh, okay.
That you've seen then?
That I've seen. Partially developed chickens or duck in the egg.
Ooh, yikes.
So when you crack open the egg, you can see the feathers and the vein.
Wow. Yeah. I hope no one is eating right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay.
There, I have seen very, very young birds skewered on a barbecue stick. Things in shells that aren't seafood.
You'll see a lot. You'll see a lot.
I've seen a lot. I've seen, let's just stop there.
Okay.
But so I wanted to mention something about vegetarians. Because when I first came here, I was a vegetarian. I gave that up a month before I left because I just knew it wouldn't happen. But actually now, if you prepare yourself, it's very, very doable. But you have to know how to express that you're a vegetarian. Because if you just say you don't eat meat, they don't care. And they'll give you meat and they'll say it's just a little bit of meat. But if you put your hands together like you're praying and then learn how to say, I don't want meat, then they'll understand. They'll treat you like a Buddhist and you'll only get vegan dishes.
Well, that's good. That's good information. Mm-hmm. But do you think they need to learn some Chinese before they go over? Or I've also heard that the companies offer Chinese lessons.
Often they do. They're not so much anymore. I don't know why, but they don't seem to offer much Chinese anymore. But it's not hard to find anyone off the street who's willing to do a language exchange. Most people that are the same age as any teachers that would be coming over, most students and young professionals, they will speak a little bit of English. So it'll be enough to do a language exchange. Not to mention coworkers, they would love to do that as well.
Now, the Chinese only hire from certain countries, correct?
Not necessarily. It depends on what city or province you're in.
Okay, because, I've heard that they're only hiring from, the big seven, Canada, Australia, right. UK. Is that correct?
For English teachers, even in the cities that require that, there is a way around it, and I just recently read this, so I know it's true for a little while. If you have a degree in English, then that doesn't matter. Then that restriction doesn't matter. Then you can still get what they call a Z visa here.
So if I'm in Brazil or Mexico and I have a degree in English, I could apply?
Absolutely.
Oh, interesting. So that's a bit of a change.
Yes, and I also recommend getting your TESOL because that's a huge benefit and also, gets you past some other requirements.
Now, what about, certainly in Canada, we have a lot of new Canadians, from all over the world. They're on a Canadian passport, they're permanent residents here, but they're not necessarily born in Canada and maybe don't have the English degree. Would they be able to apply?
If they have the passport, yes.
If they have the passport. So the passport's the key. But aren't they looking at the diploma where they graduated from?
They might happen to see it. I don't think they're actually looking at it.
Okay, yeah. So you still think it's worth at least trying to apply?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not the schools that really care because...
they want teachers. Yeah,
Exactly. They're desperate for teachers here. They're really, really desperate for teachers. At least in Shaman, they are. I'm sure in other cities, it's not much different.
Now, you're looking at 12,000 RMB to start. What range would be a good salary if they were to stay, a few more years? What could they get up to in terms of an RMB salary? I don't want you to tell
us. If they're not going to give you... No. I don't want to make anybody not want to come. So I believe, I don't know this 100%, so don't quote me on this, or quote me, I don't care. You're supposed to get 2,500 raise every year. And that sounds like a hefty raise. And the laws aren't exactly 100% enforced. But if you know them, there is a labor board here that you can call for information and they have English information. If that's true, well, then that's a pretty sweet deal, wouldn't you think?
Now, what would be a comfortable salary though? To be comfortable and living in a comfortable life in China, what would you kind of shoot for?
If you're single, if you're coming over by yourself and you don't want a four-bedroom apartment overlooking the ocean, then $12,000 a month is very decent.
Reasonable. Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Good to know. Is there any other advice that you would give to people out there listening who are thinking about going to China to teach?
Bring socks.
Socks and chocolate.
Yeah, socks and chocolate. If you bring socks, the socks here, they're very nylon. They're very acrylic. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's a pretty comfortable international city where I am. If you go to another place, then bring the comforts of home. Bring a few things. And even though you want to experience the world, after a few months, you're going to miss some things. And that little bit, that little piece of chocolate, that little, you know, Coca-Cola, if that's your thing, it'll carry you a long way. A little bottle of CC.
That's Canadian Club for those ones out there not listening. All right. That's good. Yes. That's good to know, Colin. Thank you so much for joining us today. So it's great to hear your voice. Great to see
Thank
you're doing
you very
so
much
well.
For having me.
You're doing amazing.
Thank you. And you too.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
So that was Colin Goodchild and teaching in China. That was really interesting, really fascinating, wasn't it? And, you know, I remembered with that interview about my peanut butter, and I really, really wanted peanut butter. And I went to this Japanese grocery store, and there was this bottle that looked like peanut butter. I mean, it looked like peanut butter. And it was, it had a knife and a bread as a photo. It didn't say peanut butter, but it had a piece of bread and a photo of somebody spreading peanut butter, or what looked like peanut butter, onto the bread. And I thought, oh my gosh, I found peanut butter. I'm so happy. And I bought it, of course, and I took it home. And the next morning I woke up, I had my bread, and I put some of the spread peanut butter on the bread, and it looked so amazing, and I'm so excited, and I bite into the peanut butter, and it's not peanut butter. It was fish spread. Yeah. Ugh. It was like this fish paste. It wasn't peanut butter. So yeah, I had to pay about $20 to get that peanut butter from America that I missed. So bringing those things that you love when you travel abroad, you know, is always a good idea. Although I do not recommend bringing the alcohol or anything like that. And one of the things that Japan bans that I used, they ban it in their country. It's not allowed. Is Vicks Vapor Rub. I don't know if it's allowed now. But when I went over there, it was Vicks Vapor Rub. So if you got sick, you know, you rub it on your chest, or you put it on your throat, but banned in Japan. But maybe it's okay now. I don't know. But some of those little things that you think are pretty obvious are not so obvious over there. One of the things, though, that you kind of discover, and I discovered in Japan, is they have different ideas and different thinking, of course. And one of the things I discovered, just speaking of the Vicks, was the medicine that Japanese used. It was really interesting because they have vitamin C drinks, and they have, you know, this energy, powerful energy stuff. It's like a bees, something from bees. And, you know, you drink it and you become like Superman. I have so much energy. And that's why they can work for 12 hours straight without stopping, or 14 or 16 hours, because they have all these drinks that you can take and keep going. So I don't know if they're healthy or not. But it's just one of those things that you learn when you travel, and I'm sure China is the exact same way. So if you're going to do it, you know, think about your destinations. There's a lot of great places around the world that need teachers, whether it's English or high school teachers, or even if you want to do a university, there's opportunities there if you have a master's degree to work at a university abroad as well. It's a great way to travel, see the world, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and it led me to here, to you, to a podcast. and talking about all of those amazing experiences. So thank you, everybody. And a special thanks to Colin Goodchild for his insights on teaching in China. And I hope everyone has a great, great week. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.